Welcome to episode 313 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on December 9th, 2022. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In this episode, Ben and Scott discuss the ransomware attack that took down the Rackspace hosted Exchange environment. Due to recording this episode almost 2 weeks ago, there have been a few updates. Rackspace is continuing to recover data and has moved into the recovery phase of getting customers' data back. They have brought up environments and isolated environments and are extracting users' data so that they can securely hand it over to them. So given those recent developments, it does appear that Rackspace hosted Exchange is probably going to go away. Microsoft 365 or Office 365 Exchange is going to be the path forward for Rackspace hosted Exchange customers, and they are going to get their data in order for them to restore it into whatever environment they have chosen to go into, Microsoft 365 or otherwise. Rackspace is continuing to release updates on their status page, but that is the status as it stands. Given all of that, in this episode, we do discuss how this relates to Office 365 and what you as an end user should also be aware of as you look to other hosted Exchange environments, hosting your email, and making sure you keep your email secure as you use various Exchange or Exchange Online environments.
I got nothing, but everything seems to be at least working for now.
All right. Well, now we can go ahead and get started. So let's see. Could we consider that like a little miniature outage? And then we should talk about the other big outage.
The big outage? I was going to say, I see the please stand by. We're experiencing technical difficulties. Was that for me or was that for Rackspace?
That was for you, but we can put it there for Rackspace as well.
Yeah, this has been, I don't even know what to say. I don't necessarily want to say fascinating because there's a bunch of people that are having serious, painful issues right now, but it has been fascinating to watch from the outside and try to distill what's going on. Because this started almost exactly a week ago, more than a week ago, 2:49 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on December 2. So like a week and 12 hours ago.
Yes. So let's take a step back. And let's maybe kind of do a quick recap of what's happening at Rackspace and some of the, you know, we'll get into like the ongoing consequences of what's happening. So on 2 December, like you said, Rackspace began investigating an issue in their hosted Exchange environment. And I don't know that I've ever seen actual like published numbers for the amount of mailboxes and or customers that reside on that hosted Exchange environment. That being said, Rackspace is a fairly large hosting provider. So it's likely to be a substantial number of users that are impacted, likely a substantial number of companies, as well as a really, really, really good amount of data that is residing within that platform. I guess just to kind of run down the timeline for this and where things are at. So December 2nd, the entire hosted Exchange platform at Rackspace goes offline. If you're a Rackspace hosted Exchange customer, you still have access to things like the control panel. So you can go in and see that it's offline. Like, you know, that's nice and helpful for you. If you are a user who has a mailbox that's hosted in that environment, no more OWA or anything like that for you, but you still have your local copies of your messages. If you had anything cached down at the client in the OST at that time. And this goes on for several days. I think anybody who's ever been through an outage, like there's going to be some decent learnings on this one, just about like maybe how you can be a little bit more transparent to the degree you can. Like I'm sympathetic to the SREs at Rackspace here. Like I go through this with customers on the storage side and it can be really painful, right? Like you can focus on things like customer communications, Or you can focus on fixing the problem. Like anytime I need to pull an engineer off an issue to give me a status so that I can give it to a customer, means that's time that that engineer isn't focused on their investigation and I've pulled them away. And, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever been a developer, but the context switch is real. Like if I take you out of debugging your code and debugging your logs and make you turn around to talk to me for 5 minutes, it takes you a little bit of time to get back into that process. And you really do like want those people focused on fix and remediation. And if you can't fix the problem immediately, creative ideas to get around it. So for a couple of days, these status messages are going out and everybody's kind of ticking along. And then there's some guidance that comes out December 5th. So you're almost 3 days into the outage at this point, with like really clear, concise guidance about how to create a PST from your existing stuff, how to go ahead and migrate to M365. In and of itself, interesting enough. So because the control panel is still available, customers can start to swing seats from their hosted Exchange environment over to M365, and Rackspace comes out and says, we'll give everybody an M360 or an Exchange Online P1 license. So if you want to swing, go ahead and swing. That in and of itself potentially has some issues in that you're only swinging for go forward things. You still have all of your legacy email sitting down either in that environment, or hopefully again, you had it cached locally. You could like export to a PST and, you know, import that PST into your new M365 account. Along the way, they also provide guidance around how you can actually start to just do straight up forwarding to like third-party providers. So, you know, stop using scott@contoso.com and just go send it to your Gmail. Like we know you need to do business and that needs to keep moving forward. A couple more days go by. There's some rumors that I think at this point you're December 6th, December 7th. So it's been 4 or 5 days of ongoing outage. Something is clearly wrong. The entire hosted Exchange environment is still offline. Zero customer access, anything like that. Rackspace comes and posts a message on their status page. Was this ransomware? Yes.
Yeah. And this was December 7th. So this was 5 days later, like around 1 p.m. Eastern time on December 7th. It was the first time they publicly admitted it. I would say you and I were talking 2 or 3 days earlier. A lot of people had already speculated, yeah, it was ransomware, an Exchange Online environment. It doesn't go down this long. They don't tell you to go to Microsoft 365. You don't have access to old email for that long. Like ransomware was kind of that logical explanation long before they publicly said it. But yeah, it wasn't until those 5 days later that it was publicly announced that it was ransomware, and that was about it.
So today, it is December 9th, and as of today, that environment is still not available. Reading the leaves and what they've done and what they have going on and how they've offered ongoing support to the degree they can, right? Like obviously they're getting slammed with all these customers that are in this state. All these customers are going to swing to M365 at the end of the day. I don't see how anybody who hasn't done it yet, like isn't thinking about it, and they're probably just in the queue to be swung over. This is very likely the death of Rackspace hosted Exchange. Interesting way to perform a rapid fire cloud migration in an influx. I bet there's going to be all sorts of interesting learnings on the Rackspace side, as well as the Microsoft side of the house. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, I'm a small email provider and, you know, I'm going to host these 100 mailboxes over on Microsoft 365 and I'm just going to swing them tomorrow and there's no disruption to my users. It's another thing to potentially swing thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions. Again, I don't know, there's a published number. I haven't seen one for the number of actual mailboxes that reside in that environment, but to swing all those mailboxes plus all the data at once. The number of customers that are doing PST migrations right now is probably ridiculous, and just the load that introduces on the Exchange Online environment.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, it makes me think back to 2020 when Teams was struggling to keep up because of the massive influx of people at the beginning of 2020 that were swinging to Office 365, onboarding Teams, doing all of that. And again, Microsoft Cloud just, it scales, but it is not designed to scale that quickly, that rapidly. This is probably not near what they saw in 2020, but you don't anticipate, to your point. I know Rackspace has said we've migrated thousands of customers. You take thousands of customers times an average of even 20 or 25 mailboxes, and all of a sudden, you're talking 25,000 mailboxes in a week, and PST migrations and bandwidth and storage and all of that. It's interesting from both those sides. And the other interesting thing I saw is today is actually the first day on Rackspace's side that they haven't given a new status update. Their last status update was that they're working to get everybody back up and running, making resources available to support customers, be wary of people trying to take advantage of this incident and introduce new security vulnerabilities, because there may be people out there claiming to be from Rackspace and trying to help you, when in reality, it is people trying to take advantage of the situation, all of that. So they have not... And that wasn't really the update today or yesterday. It wasn't even really about the incident. The last update they really have was still from 2 days ago, where it says, yeah, it's ransomware. Again, there's a lot of reading between the lines here. There has not been a lot of clarity in terms of what exactly was encrypted. I have a speculation that there are more backups that got encrypted than Rackspace wants to admit, because I feel like... And again, my two cents, this is nothing official. I feel like if they had some available backups, they would be able to maybe start taking some of those backups to import them into Microsoft. I don't know. This makes me worried about that whole environment.
Well, there's a difference between the backup of your Exchange environment and individual mailbox backups, right? That's part of it there. Rackspace's hosted Exchange environment as well. I think one thing that's potentially not coming across in the way the status page is structured and everything. Rackspace is a global company. They host globally. They have multiple data centers in every region around the world. So they're in EMEA, they're in APAC, they're here in North America. I can't remember if they have a presence in South America, but they're in Australia. They're everywhere. So when they say the hosted Exchange environment, it is the global hosted Exchange environment.
All the Exchange environments in all the regions around the world, which is, that in and of itself is fascinating, that someone, assuming all of those Exchange environments got hit with ransomware, it also makes me wonder, how long was somebody sitting here planning this to be able to hit all the regions, all the data centers, essentially all at once?
You know, sometimes these things creep through, even in like globally distributed environments. So the best guesses I've seen so far, there was a CVE that came out in September, towards the end of September. It's called Proxy Not Shell. It came out and was publicly disclosed, and there were two different CVEs associated with it. It's been confirmed by Microsoft that it's linked to state-sponsored hacker groups as far as like developing and potentially actively using that exploit. And let's be honest, like ransomware is about collecting a ransom. It's not about taking the environment down. It's take it down, get the money, and then it comes back up. So if you're dealing with an exploit that, you know, is potentially hit your environment from a state-sponsored actor, it's almost like a non-starter where you can pay that out. And particularly for like Rackspace as a US-based company, like that's just not going to happen. So now you take that and you say like, okay, we can't pay it out. The environment's offline. We need to A, make sure we patch it so it can't happen again. And then how do we bring the environment back up? How do we do a global restore of a massively distributed hosted Exchange environment? And it's not just Exchange. Like this isn't like you ran Exchange under your desk or you installed it and you ran like, you know, a couple instances of a role. Like these are robust environments with all the customization and things that came on the other end with like control panel access and everything else right. that was going on. You know, again, not understanding like the scope, just like volume of users, capacity, things like that. You got to imagine that you're dealing with potentially petabytes of data to go ahead and restore. Like that in and of itself is a massive undertaking. Like if you're going back to LTO tape or something, like depending on like when those backups were taken, gonna take you some time. And then to coordinate and execute that, you're probably talking like, if I was gonna take a swag at it, like a couple of weeks to do that restore, which is why I think it's good, like as like a mitigation in the middle. Hey, here's this offering for M365 licenses. Like, yes, we realize you can't get access to your legacy data that might not have been available cached locally in your client, but at least you can get back up and running. You can kind of keep moving forward from that lens. But like, given the scope and the ongoing impact, like I said, I think this is very likely the death of hosted Exchange at Rackspace.
Right.
Interesting way to do a forced cloud migration, that's all.
Yeah. Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business. Well, so given that, like I start thinking through your restore process or your process for doing the restore is... Do you truly try to get your Exchange environment back up and running? Or do you, at this point in time, just try to get the data out of it, get the user's mailboxes, get PSTN files out, get whatever that is, and just provide users data to them so that they can get those old emails back that they haven't gotten back yet?
I get the sense that early on, they didn't know what they didn't know. Like if I just read through that timeline, right? Yep. And I take it at face value at the words that were in the status updates, like to the degree that they could be transparent, they were transparent at the time. If you watch that timeline, like I think the first inclination from everybody is like, you know, if you're the person who runs that environment and you go, crap, we're down, you want to restore it. Like you want to get back up and running.
You want to get it back up and running as quick as possible.
So you have to focus on that. And then at some point, it's been a few days and you realize that your efforts to A, discover like, why did this happen in the first place? And then B, go down the path of like restoring it and getting it back up. You go like, oh, it's not going to be a quick turnkey thing. So now I need to offer a mitigation path. Like what's mitigation look like? What does relief look like for my customers, right? My customers are feeling pain right now. How do I get them relief to whatever degree I can? Great. Let's go ahead and start migrating to M365. So now you're pulling resources and you're going that way. You know, you potentially have to train all your support people up really quickly to do like a massive undertaking and get everything over to that side. You're likely still focusing on recovery. I don't know, like when you make that rationalization that recovery might not be possible in the sense that your Exchange environment is going to come back up from like a full restore or even like a region by region restore, like data center by data center, whatever that happens to look like. And you say, all right, we're going to kind of pull the ripcord and we're going to go another way. So now we're going to switch our focus entirely. Like we're going to do a 180 and turn around. And now we're going to focus on individual mailbox recovery to the degree we can. Like, let's help customers export their data, which is a totally different process than you've been doing the rest of the time.
Right.
Like, you are focused on one thing. Like, Rackspace is big and they've got a bunch of people. But yeah, you can't do, I don't think you can do both at once for the number of customers they had and the scale that they need to be at. So I get the sense today, FastTrack's engaged from Microsoft. So FastTrack is available to customers. You know, if you're listening to this next week and like you're still sitting in the queue with Rackspace support, like you might have a path forward to call Microsoft and just get FastTrack to help you through that process a little bit. And FastTrack will be like continuously staffed up over time as well. I would bet at some point in the very near future, if they haven't already, they pivot to just straight user recovery and the recognition that hosted Exchange be gone, which you wonder like what that has to do just to Rackspace. That was part of their core offering.
Right.
That's a core thing there. And you've just given up that business to Microsoft. Let's be straight, right? Like they are buying Exchange right. licenses for their customers today. Does the price that Rackspace pays for an Exchange license for their customers, does that equate to their COGS, like their costs of goods and services to deliver hosted Exchange? Is it costing them more money or less money? Or is it just revenue neutral for them to go ahead and push all those users up to M365. I would bet if they could have been making money by pushing all their customers to M365 or the same amount of money they were in their hosted Exchange environment, that they would have done that anyway. Because nobody wants to be in the business of hosting Exchange if you don't have to be.
Right. Oh, agree 100%. And yeah, that's going to be very... That was one thought I had in all of this too, is at this point in time, does Rackspace just become... like a massive Exchange Online CSP? Are they able to maybe not generate as much, but still generate revenue that way, and their hosted Exchange truly becomes reselling Exchange Online licensing? But also, what does this do to the rest of their business? Again, you look on Twitter and, well, this was a massive part of it. They still did other stuff. But there's a lot of people that I've seen that are like, I'm not just leaving Exchange hosted Exchange because it's down, but I'm leaving Rackspace and going to Azure, going to AWS, going to another email provider altogether, going to G Suite, whatever that may be. I think this is something that we're going to be watching for a long time to see what the ramifications are. But yeah, it has been interesting to watch from that perspective. And I think the other aspect to this that would be interesting to talk about is we've talked about users that have the cached emails. They have their PSTN files, they have cached OSTs, where they can bring that email, re-upload it to Exchange Online and get their data back. But from what I've seen, there's still a large percentage of the people that were only using webmail, were only using a browser to access their email. And they're like, my contacts are gone, my calendar appointments are gone, my email is gone. I've seen people talking about losing 15, 20 years worth of email. And I don't know what hosted Exchange looks like, but if you had online archives in hosted Rackspace and all of those archives were not downloaded, or maybe Outlook, I think you can set it, you can only download the last 2 years or the last year of email. There could be a lot of email, both Outlook users and web-based users, that it's lost. Like, thinking through whether it's with Rackspace or Microsoft or other things, does this bring up, okay, so what are some ways I can protect myself as a company in case something similar would happen to Microsoft? Or kind of that retrospective of, if I had been doing this with hosted Exchange on Rackspace, could I have gotten my email back quicker? In thinking through that, I know for me, I do have a third-party backup of all my email. It goes out of Exchange Online, out of Office 365, into a third party. So that, in theory, if this ever happened to Microsoft, hopefully I'd be able to at least restore from that third party or have a copy of it offsite. And I think this brings up a lot of those types of thoughts as... I think up until now, a lot of people just kind of assumed it was safe. Again, you talk multiple data centers. I'm assuming Rackspace had multiple backups, redundant regions, and all of it's gone just like that. I think that's another aspect to this that you kind of want to think about is what could I do to protect myself and not necessarily rely on huge cloud providers?
Yeah. Funny enough, we've had conversations about this in the past. I'll put a link in the show notes. Go back to episode 108 from 2019.
That was like 4 years ago, Scott. 3 years ago.
Backup and recovery in M365. We sat down with Matt McDermott and we talked about this. But much of that advice still applies. Like, it is still applicable today when it comes down to how you can rationalize backup and recovery across what Microsoft gives you or what you might be able to get through an external provider, right? Like, there are certainly companies that sell like M365 recovery services or specifically Exchange Online recovery or SharePoint Online, things like that. Your mileage varies across those tools. And to a certain degree, vendors and ISVs are limited in what they can build due to API limitations. Things change in the Microsoft platform over time, right? Like all that good stuff. Like, you can go to Barracuda today and you can buy Office 365 backup. You can buy individual mailbox backup, like all those things, even like down to like item level recovery. Like, that is stuff that's all available to you. I think it's probably one of those things, like, if you sit down and you really do it, like, you go down the checklist of what's important to me and what does my provider cover, really. If you went to Microsoft and you said, does Microsoft have protection from ransomware? Like, what happens if a ransomware attack happens in, say, like, your OneDrive for Business? Microsoft is going to say, you're covered. Like, it doesn't matter if your local client gets messed up because it's going to encrypt everything in your OneDrive, but OneDrive has versioning. So you can just go do a mass restore back to the old version, clean that up and go another way. Sounds easy on the surface. Harder. It's not like a one-click operation to make it happen, but it is doable. But you might want to buy that protection from somebody who can give you that one-click kind of access and, I guess, the warm fuzzies when it comes to it. Like, clearly this stuff still has a place in the world, like when it comes to like backup and recovery software for the M365 stack. I feel horrible for the SREs and all the folks at Rackspace. We're kind of going in the chat here, and there was a comment about, you know, potentially it's a company ending thing, right? Like, you mentioned customer trust being eroded. Like, do you lose customers in other parts of the platform because they were using Exchange and now they're not going to use these other services from Rackspace? Very real possibility. The other consideration there is Rackspace is a publicly traded company. So they take a big hit, not just with their customers, but with kind of the market as a whole, as a part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you, it does. Like, I feel bad for them. And that's why it was like fascinating to watch this. Absolutely. But very devastating to Rackspace as a company. I am sure there are plenty of employees there that are just beat, completely exhausted, haven't slept in a week or more because of this. Yeah, it's not a fun situation to go through. I've been involved in a couple much smaller ransomware scenarios, and it is not a scenario you want any company to have to go through, any people to have to deal with. It's just not fun. So
yeah, not at all.
Again, hopefully they can recover from this. Hopefully they can get all of their customers' data back. People can get access to their old email, get back access to calendars, contacts, all of that. But I think we're going to be watching this for a while. This is not going to be over in a few days or something. This is going to be probably weeks or months of going through. And I used to be of the mindset, I'll say I used to be of the mindset, you know what, even in Office 365, you don't need backups. Microsoft has a bunch of redundancies. Looking at this, even looking in the chat, other people in the Discord chat that have third-party backups of their Office 365 environment, OneDrive, SharePoint, groups, mailboxes, all of that, I think it's absolutely worth it. In you look at the cost of some of these backup services versus the cost of losing data. Truth be told, I think a lot of these services are fairly reasonable. If you have thousands of mailboxes, it's not going to be a drop in the bucket. But I think at the end of the day, it's probably worth it. And it's something you should at least go in look at costs, different ways to do it.
For sure. Here, I thought we were going to spend like 5 or 6 minutes on Rackspace and be done with it. And you took me well past my, in my head, allocated amount of time there.
For this, which means we have no time to talk about how Loop is making me loopy. I was going to be all clever and all of that. And yeah.
We'll do that next time then.
We will. Maybe I'll be able to play with it a little bit more and figure some of this out. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on this. I don't know how much we'll circle back to this, but it is. It's one of those things I figured it's not necessarily Microsoft 365 related, although it is, in a sense, a sort of cloud-based exchange and definitely in the news lately and something to talk about. So, with that, Scott, I don't know when we're recording next. We have a bit of a goofy schedule. Holidays coming up. I honestly don't even know when this episode is coming out. But when you do listen to this episode, it's going to be around the holidays sometime. I hope everyone enjoys their holidays, enjoys some time to hopefully take a little bit of a break. I know we're going to go visit some family. Our recording schedule is goofy because both of us are traveling and just taking a little bit of a break. So,
yeah. So, you know, it's almost like you cajoled me into putting the schedule into Discord so that everyone would have it. So, yeah, we've got this recording. We'll do one more next Friday. And then that gets pushed out a week to Thursday. And because we've had kind of a backlog here and we've been recording twice a week just to get them in, you and I get 2 weeks off from live talking. And we'll be back to record on January 2nd for anybody who like joins for live recordings, things like that.
Yeah, I missed some of that. I don't think we're doing any, I did not look at the schedule. We're not even doing a live recording next week, are we? Are we going to try it? I am not going to be in my normal setup. So you thought it was interesting now. You should see it when I'm sitting at my parents' house without all of my normal equipment trying to do a live show. So,
so we're going to rely on our backup audio engineer next week, aka Scott, who theoretically has a very similar configuration and should be able to click the go live button in Discord. If it goes down in a bunch of flames, I might have to just pull back some of the ribbing I've given you about your changes in your audio setup. But if I pull it off, I want kudos. Like I want my gold star.
All right. I will have a gold star for you. And for those of you that are still listening, if you want to come join us in Discord and watch Scott and I try to get live audio going to it every week, you can go sign up for monthly membership. We have yearly memberships now. And that gives you access to Discord, to the ribbing and the conversation that goes on during these in Discord. It lets you watch our To the Cloud YouTube live streams when we do those a couple times a month. So if you want that, go head over to the mscloudITpro.com/membership site and get all the details and sign up there. And with that,
easy enough. Love it.
Enjoy your weekend, Scott. Enjoy next week. And we will talk to you in a couple weeks. No,
sounds
a
good.
Week. Thanks. I will talk to you
next,
in a week.
Next week. Remember, see? Backup audio engineer. You got
yes,
it.
Yes, backup audio engineer next week. Then it's off for a couple weeks. I'm losing my mind. All right. We'll talk to you later, Scott.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.